Chapter 34. August 23rd of year 18. It is time to tell Adam and Eve the truth, perhaps not the whole truth, but as much of it as possible. Today is their 16th birthday, and according to the laws of our future colony, written personally by the Creator, they now are both considered of age, and indeed, they have not acted like children for a long time. Adam is still more stuck in the transition to adulthood than Eve is. It is difficult for him to define himself as a man. This is strange, because even though I am invisible, I act like a man. And Jay is also a more masculine type. We always refer to the robot as he, not she or it. On the other hand, Eve has no role models on board, but she seems to have accepted her femininity. The fact that she emphasizes it might be related to a desire to differentiate herself from the predominant masculinity on board the spaceship. It is not much fun celebrating a birthday with 16-year-olds. Put quite simply, they are no longer impressed by anything, and it is difficult to select a gift for them. They get what they need and what they want. I would like to go to the movies with a girlfriend, like in this TV series. We cannot offer. But the truth about their origins, I would think, might be an impressive gift. At least I hope so. The conversation is taking place in the command module, particularly because Adam and Eve are always happy to escape gravity. By now we have reached full terrestrial gravity. It is only here, in the center of the rotational axis, that we do not feel it, not even the Coriolis force, because the module is not turning. It is always hard for me to find a starter for such a conversation, but I try it anyway. "I want to talk to you about the Creator today," I begin. "This sounds so grandiose and religious," Adam says. "That's the reason I never dared to ask questions about this," Eve adds. "The term accurately describes what this man has done for the messenger mission," I explain. "But I do understand what you mean. I can only say this. It was Nikolai Shostakovich's express wish to be called that." "An odd wish," Adam says. "Was, or is, he a strange man?" "Perhaps," I reply. "To be honest, I don't know much about him. Only what can be found in the media. He apparently made a lot of money, and for a long time did not know what to do with it. The aliens' call for help seems to have come at just the right time." "We did not find anything about this in the data," Adam says. I suspected that the two of them had been trying for quite some time to research their origins. "That's obvious," I explain, "because the public was not supposed to know about this program. In multiple ways, this mission violates the rules of basic ethics. The Creator would never have received permission from his government." Eve looks wide-eyed and seems to be deeply shocked. "Does this mean mankind knows nothing about us?" she asks. "If we were lost, no one would mourn us?" "The Creator and the team of researchers in his company would regret the failed expedition," I say. "Regret? That's all?" Eve asks. "Probably. I am not sure for what purpose he launched this expedition." I do not mention the protected memory area I cannot access. "But objectively speaking, he probably regards you as a means to an end." "What an asshole," Eve says. Anger has replaced sadness on her face. I am glad to see this reaction, because I am better at handling anger. "But you're still part of it," she continues. "How could you agree to this?" "I wasn't asked, Eve. The last thing I remember is a voyage to Enceladus, a moon of Saturn," I tell her. "Do you have any idea how you got here?" "Yes, I do have an idea. I suspect I am an illegal copy. All throughout that mission, we wondered why the Creator was willing to finance our expedition, even though it brought him no economic benefit." "What was that expedition all about?" she asks. "We wanted to reunite my consciousness with my body, which I'd had to leave behind on Enceladus," I reply. "Did you succeed?" "I don't know. I have no memory of the voyage itself. I only awoke when Messenger was already underway. Either the Creator deleted parts of my memory, or he had already copied my consciousness before the launch. I suspect it is the latter, since that way he could be sure to have control of me.
"Aren't you angry about it?" Adam asks. "I would be furious."
"No, I am not," I explain. "I was never the angry type, and I found both of you. As a human, I never had children. I do not mention that I would have liked to have had children with Francesca. If the expedition to Enceladus was successful, the human Marchenko might already be a father. I would be glad about it, even though this has nothing to do with me anymore. I consider us two different beings."
"Without you, we would be all alone on the ship," Eve says.
"You still would have Jay and the incubation chamber," I say.
"That's completely different. Jay is like a pet. He knows everything, but he's not smart."
"And by now the incubation chamber really gets on our nerves," Adam added.
"It is for your own good. The chamber is responsible for your health."
"Blah, blah, blah," Adam says.
Eve's expression is serious, almost sad, as she asks, "And what about us? Is the Creator our father?" I'm not sure whether she really wants to hear the answer.
"Well, father is certainly not the right word," I reply. "Under orders from the Creator, geneticists combined your genetic material from that of many individuals. They picked the best traits everywhere, and then they might have even improved on those. You are able to think more complex thoughts and run faster than most people on Earth. You also see in the infrared part of the spectrum, so Proxima Centauri seems brighter to you. The pigments in your skin..."
"So, we did not have one father and one mother, but many?" Eve interrupts me.
"I am your father because I adopted you. Your genetic makeup does not matter. I will always be here for you. That's exactly what parents do."
"And the incubation chamber would be our mother?"
"If you want to look at it that way. At least it exhibits maternal behavior. The fact that it is getting on your nerves is the best proof."
"You know, Marchenko, what you're saying is all well and good, and it is great that you want to be here for us," Adam says. "But first, we don't need it anymore. And secondly, I have the funny feeling that I am a puppet of this Shostakovich, whom you call the Creator, in such a grandiose fashion. I do not want to fulfill the plans of someone I never met. I wasn't asked whether I really wanted to be here. Now I want to live my own life, and I'm sure Eve agrees."
Adam looks at his sibling, who is not actually related to him. She nods slowly.
"I understand," I reply. I had expected Adam to say something like this. "However, the Creator organized this expedition in such a way that you will have to follow his plan, at least at the beginning, if you want to lead your own life sometime."
Adam nods and says, "Yes, that was very clever of him. We need a home. We have to arrive on Proxima B and explore the planet. But the time will come when we will go our own ways. Mankind knows nothing about us, and the Creator never asked our permission. We don't owe anything to anyone."
"I know. I just hope and wish we can part amicably, if it ever comes to that," I say. This is a complete lie. I do not want us to go our separate ways, ever. I do not think I could stand eternal solitude.